I'd invite you to open up your Bible to Psalm 128. This can be found on page 538. In Surrey, we're doing a summer of Psalms as we've been navigating Psalms that start with blessed, kind of a Beatitudes, if you will, of kind of following the similar theme of Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes of the Psalms, we've called it. We have this Psalm 128 and 144, and then we're tidying up that sermon, but here, that series. But here we have an opportunity to look at Psalm 128 and the blessings of those who fear the Lord. So hear God's word, a song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So far, the reading of God's holy and righteous word. Dear congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Psalm 128 outlines us the blessing that we have when we fear the Lord. As we look and navigate this psalm, we'll see that a simple life, a life of work, a vocation, a life of family, a spouse, and children, all starts with the fear of the Lord. If you were to have an idea or a plan of attack how to accomplish a simple life, would it start with the fear of the Lord? It seems so simplistic, so easy for us to have such a fruitful life, and it all starts with the fear of the Lord. We'll see through verses 1 through 4 that the fear of the Lord produces blessings that are personal and for the present. Verses 1 opens up that blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, and that fear there, that it might have bad connotations in the world today. Fear seems oppressive. It stings the ears of the world. But it's not what the world thinks it is. It's not this fear that comes from an unhinged father who has a hair trigger that at any moment is likely to snap at his people. It's far greater than that. It's something good. It's an indication of godly behavior. If we open up Scripture, we can find the fear of the Lord sprinkled throughout. The Proverbs is a wonderful place to look. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Job talks about the fear of the Lord. Also in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. We see that the fear of the Lord is a good thing. It is where we start that journey of understanding and knowing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is understanding rightly who God is, that He is the Creator of all, that we are merely the creatures, that He is the one that possesses all the power and wisdom and knowledge, and yet we are reliant and dependent upon Him. Our fear is good and holy and righteous because we understand and we acknowledge that without Him we are nothing. Without the fear of the Lord, we are nothing. We have nothing. He has the power and the wisdom, the knowledge, the things that we do not have. So rightly, we fear the Lord because we are dependent upon Him. We look to Him. It's a part of a godly behavior, a godly disposition. So is Is the simple life as easy as merely fearing the Lord? Is that is all it takes to have a simple piety, a simple life? All we have to do is fear the Lord? Well, Psalm 128 seems to set out that case for us. We see in verse 2 that the first blessing that comes to us is the blessing of labor. We understand that labor is good, but it came to us and now sin has stained and soiled labor. We remember from Genesis chapter 3 verses 17 where Adam receives the curse and it is said to him, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and you shall return to dust. We see there that labor has been tainted by sin. That we work by the sweat of our brow. That there's thorns and thistles gathering in the things that we need to cultivate life. There's no blessing in labor. But Psalm 20 indicates that there is a great blessing if we fear the Lord. We can read in Deuteronomy about the blessing that the Lord bestows upon us. That through our labor we will have a fruitful yield. It says there in Deuteronomy when he talks about the blessings for obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 28. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young flock. And he goes on to explain the joys that the people will have when they fear and have obedience towards the Lord. And even Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes the joy that it is, the gift, the God-given gift it is of work. Says in chapter 3, verse 12, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. In verse 22, I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what he will be after him? It seems like the first blessing of Psalm 128, when we put our fear in the Lord, is that the blessing of labor. That we will receive the fruit of our labors, that you shall be blessed and it will be well with you. It is the reverse of the curse. It's taking that Genesis 3 curse and flipping on its head. When we fear the Lord, we no longer feel as if we're working with thorns and thistles, but that we yield a fruitful labor and that we will be blessed and it shall be well with you because of your labor. And this is a good thing. It's a gift from the Lord, as Ecclesiastes said. That's not the only blessing we find in 128. There's also the blessing of family, as we read verses 3. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. There's a blessing of family. And as we look at that passage, it reminds me of Jesus' teaching about the trees and good and bad fruit. Do bad fruit come from good trees? Is there good trees that bear bad fruit? No, good trees, good fruit. Bad trees, bad fruit. And we see then that this blessed man who fears the Lord is like that thermostat for the house. He's the temperature gauge. When it's cold to the fear of the Lord, when it's turned down to the fear of the Lord, you can't then expect the blessings that come from Psalm 128. Not fruit, but thorns and thistles that you would have. Not plentiful children around your table, but it would be vacant and lonely. But yet when we turn that thermostat up, when that blessed man fears the Lord, we can come to expect the blessings that are from the Lord. When we fear Him, we receive the fruit of that fear. But could it be this easy? Is a good marriage and fruitful children around your table, is it as easy as fearing the Lord? Is that all it takes? Because society would say, well, no, it takes this step and that step, and you have to follow these directions. But is it as easy as merely fearing the Lord, having the proper perspective of who the Lord is and His power and reverence towards Him, yet understanding that He has the power to give to us all that we stand in need of? This simple life, the blessing of family, is it this easy? Verse 4 seems to indicate the overarching blessingness that comes when we fear the Lord. Blessed, thus shall be the man blessed. Behold, sorry, thus shall be the man blessed who fears the Lord. There's an overarching blessedness that comes when we fear the Lord, when we properly understand who the Lord is and that reverence and adoration that we have for His holy and righteousness and His just law. Becomes your overall reality. It's really all you need in your life. A job that produces fruit, a wife that is fruitful within your home, and children that surround your table like olive shoots, it says in the ESV. There's satisfaction in what you're doing. There's peace. It's that Eden quality of life, all from the mere fact that you're putting your fear in the Lord. And the fear of the Lord also produces blessings that are public and for the future, we read in verses 5 and 6, which reads much like a prayer. It says that the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. We see that there's a top-down blessing that comes from above. We realize that God is with you. As you're navigating this Christian life, we understand that the Lord is with you. That means you have unlimited resources. A God who created everything with the power of His words is able to give you all that you stand in need of because He knows you. There's blessings that come down to you from heaven because of your gracious and kind God. Unlimited resources. And this is something for us to chase. This blessedness that comes from the fear of the Lord and an unlimited supply of grace from your God. But also we see that there's kingdom prosperity. May you see the prosperity of your kingdom, of Jerusalem, the blessings of a nation. We read in Psalm 43 of this wicked nation that surrounded the psalmist. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against ungodly people. Surrounded by people who hate Him. Imagine a kingdom that's prospering, the blessing of a nation who's all fearing the Lord. What would that look like if we walked down the street and everyone who's interacting with each other realize and recognize that they're encountering an image bearer of God? What would it look like if God's law and standard was upheld? What would it look like as a kingdom prospers because it's healthy and it's vibrant? Everyone understanding the fear of the Lord, excited. What would that look like if a nation suddenly feared the Lord? You also see longevity. There's a parallel for all the days of your life and children's children, seeing that the fear of the Lord prolongs our life, gives us days upon days. And that's something that you can only get from the Lord. The world will try to cultivate as best that they can a desire to prolong their days in life with medicine, with money, with different healthy ways of dieting and eating, with rest and recovery. Yet it's only the Lord that can prolong our days, because He has them all numbered. It's only to the Lord you can go to say, Lord, give me a few more days on earth. Only God can provide the length of days for you. And it starts with the fear of the Lord. And He ends in peace. No war. No inner hostility. No famine. But just peace. The overarching blessingness of fearing the Lord would be peace, wouldn't it? We navigated through Psalm 112, and that's another theme of fearing the Lord. But in that case, in Psalm 112, we understand that when we fear the Lord, we have no other phobias. That's our option in life, is we can have many phobias. We can encounter this world and have many fears and phobias as we interact with the Christian life, or we can fear the Lord, and He takes away all of our fears because He is the one in control. He gives us peace. There's peace when I fear the Lord. I don't have any other phobias. I'm not afraid of anything else. I'm not afraid of what might come around the corner, because I have peace, because I fear the Lord. So if I set out this argument that this simple life starts with the fear of the Lord, if it's merely that easy as saying, I am going to fear the Lord, well then, if prosperity is as easy as fear, why isn't everyone fearing the Lord? If it's this easy, why doesn't everyone fear the Lord? We see a bit of a discontent maybe in the world. They see the fear of the Lord and the fruit of a simple life, and they don't want that. Godliness and contentment isn't great gain. It doesn't sound like much fun at all, they might think. They're not interested with contentment. They want more. There's a greed. There's an excitement about more than just a simple life, more than a job that you like, that bears fruit for your family, a family of a wife that is like a fruitful vine, and children that surround your dinner table. That does not sound like a life worth living. But maybe they're just captivated as well by Satan, what he has to offer instead. Satan has the offer as he convinced Adam to be disobedient towards God. He promised to him a God-like knowledge of knowing good and evil. Maybe they're more captivated by that, like a knowledge, a truth that Satan can provide. Or maybe they're more captivated by the promise that Satan had towards Jesus, that when he rose him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, that if he worshipped Satan, he would give to Jesus all these kingdoms. Maybe they're more captivated with this kind of life, a life of a great kingdom, a kingdom of me, myself, and I, that I have all that I need, and I need nothing from no one. Maybe they're more captivated by the world of wealth and fame, power. Those are the carrots and the gold nuggets that the world dangles before our eyes. You're not anything if you don't have. You need to build your wealth. More fame. The more well you're liked, the better it'll off be for you. Instagram, Twitter, all your followers, this is your identity, building this fame, this following. Yet it still produces the same result. It still produces the same hole inside of you that you cannot fill. The more money you acquire, the more followers you get, the more power that you have, it still will not fill that hole that's inside of you. And it doesn't help because sin is blinding. Sin blinds our eyes and we cannot see then. It blinds us to make us believe that there is no God. We close our eyes and we believe that we're the only ones navigating through this world. That there's no God. And if there's no God, then there's nothing that we ought to fear. And if there's no God, then there's no truth. It's all relative to what you think, what I think. There's no objective standard of truth. Sin blinds you to this reality that fearing the Lord gives you this great blessing. Vocation, family. Sin blinds us to the consequences when we don't fear God. We keep those blinders on and we walk right through the gates of hell unknowing, not realizing the consequences of our action. We don't submit to the God who created everything. We don't properly have reverence and adoration for who He is. Sin blinds us to our abilities, think that we're better than we ought to be, that you're self-sufficient, sustaining yourself each and every day. It blinds us to the fact that the Lord is the one that's sustaining us. The Lord is the one who's giving us breath within our lungs that we breathe. The Lord is the one that's circulating the blood throughout our bodies. He is the one that's providing for us each and every day. Sin blinds us to that. And it's because of Adam and his disobedience. Because Adam didn't fear the Lord and listen to the lies of Satan. Yet for us too, then we fear. But it's not merely just of what Adam did, but we're filled with this disposition that we don't want to fear the Lord. Sin blinds us. It tarnishes the glory of the Lord. This great, good fear of the Lord that properly understands who we are and who God is. But Jesus Christ restores our fear because He feared for us. Jesus looks down and sees this ruined humanity who do not fear the Lord, who are wicked in and of themselves. And He's piety with a plan. He comes to earth, takes on flesh, and is always revered the Heavenly Father, always feared the Lord. Jesus Christ comes and does what we ought to be doing, always living in fear of the Lord before His face, holding up His glory and splendor, properly understanding who He is, always living in fear. And He had a solution, a sin solution, that He would take from us this fearlessness, this lack of fear that we had for the God of creation. And He would take that fear upon His shoulders and remove that sin from us, the sin that blinds us, that keeps us away from God. And He would take upon His shoulders and He would crucify it and then He would exchange it for His life lived as one who feared the Lord. That He receives our sinful ways that don't want to acknowledge the fear of the Lord, and yet we receive from Him this great fear as if we lived a life full of fear of the Lord. And the blessings that come from this great exchange. He was cursed and yet we were blessed. So is the simple life as easy as starting with the fear of the Lord? Is it that easy? It is easy because of Jesus Christ. It's easy because of what Christ has done for us, because He has secured for us all the things that we couldn't do that we were supposed to do. So that all we have left to do is fear the Lord and we can receive the blessings that Christ has secured for us. He has given to us all that we stand in need of. So a simple life merely is walking out in the fear of the Lord. Understanding that we are not able in and of ourselves to juggle all these balls that would need to secure for us a righteousness that would be worthy of walking through heaven's gate, walking up the pilgrimage to Zion. But Christ has secured for us all that righteousness. And he didn't keep it for himself, but he gave it to us and clothed us and wrapped us in this great righteousness that wasn't our own. And now we have it. And because we have it, because we have the righteousness that Christ secured for us as he feared the Lord and the blessingness that comes from that, we too then have all of what Christ secured for us. We share in his blessing. We are the fruit of his labor. We will eat of the fruit of his labor. We are blessed because of the work of Christ. And it shall be well with us. You've been reconciled. You've been restored. Your fellowship with God has been restored. The enmity is gone, and now you are restored and in a loving fellowship, covenant relationship with the Lord because of what Christ has done. You have something greater than the union of marriage between husband and spouse, between man and woman. You have a union with Christ, with the head, a marriage that is so far greater than anything that can be secured here on earth. You get to see the multitude of God's people. You get to see a kingdom undefiled, without sin, a kingdom so glorious that no mind has ever imagined or ear has ever heard, a wonderful and great kingdom. And you'll see the length of days. All the days of your life united to Christ. See, these blessings come to us not merely always here now, but in the life ever after. It's a simple command that comes with simple piety and a simple life. We should chase after the fear of the Lord. And these blessings that come from above because of it. We can be thankful. Thankful for these earthly blessings that bestow upon us each and every day, but we should long for the fulfillment of these blessings. And as we close, I want you to be reminded that all these spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 reminds of us of this great truth. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And that's helpful for us to remember and to be reminded of, that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So as we navigate our life and we get disgruntled about the work that we're doing, we understand that this work is merely temporary. As we long for the fulfillment of every spiritual blessing that can be found in Christ, we're disgruntled about the difficulties of marriage and family and children, yet we can long for the time that it will be fulfilled. That we no longer have to worry about these things because every spiritual blessing isn't found here on earth in this moment of time that is passing away. But every spiritual blessing is found in heaven where we'll be united to Christ and we will have the fulfillment of all of these things. So if we look at Psalm 128 and we see the blessings and we look at them and I say, well, I don't have a job like this. I don't have a wife like this or a husband like this. I don't have children like this. I don't have this overarching blessedness. Is it because I don't fear the Lord? Is it because I don't put my fear in the Lord as I ought to? We're reminded that this pilgrimage that we're on, this point in time in life, is fading away, and every spiritual blessing that you have in Christ can be found in the heavenly places. So we don't look to here and now and be excited, but we long for what is to come and the future blessing that can be only found when we're united to Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of Psalm 128 and the blessedness that comes from the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord will give to us a great measure of blessings. Thank you for Christ, that he has secured for us all that we stand in need of, a righteousness that is not our own, a fear of God that was not our own, and yet shared with us the blessedness that comes from his obedience, that he exchange our sins for his righteousness, and that we would have the luxury and the privilege to live this simple life that starts with the fear of you. The fear of the Lord, Father, is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So we thank you that we can be reminded of the richness of Psalm 128. It's in Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen.